This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Juana Luz Tobar Ortega is the mother of four, a grandmother of two. She lived in Asheboro, North Carolina for more than 20 years, worked a steady job, paid taxes, is active in her church. She's also undocumented. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement ordered Juana to return to her native Guatemala by the end of last month. Instead, she made the decision to move into St. Barnabas Episcopal Church in Greensboro to shield herself from deportation. ICE regards churches as sensitive locations, and they don't generally enter them to make arrests or detentions. Joining me in the studio now to talk more about Juana's case is her eldest daughter, Lesvi Molina. Lesvi, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you.
Thank you.
I want to start, tell us more about your mother's story. She's from Guatemala. When did she come here?
She came in 1992, first lived in Los Angeles, California for 1 year, and then moved down to North Carolina, to the city of Asheboro, North Carolina, since 1993.
Why did she come to the U.S.?
She came running away from violence, mainly, escaping civil war in Guatemala.
And when she moved here, she did apply for asylum. Tell us about that. That was in 1993?
Yes. So she applied for asylum and didn't really got approved, but they gave her status as, you know, they gave her a work permit and so that she could continue working while her asylum was pending. And she did that for, I think it was either 9 or 8 years. And in 1999, I gotten sick with a real bad case of anemia. And I've also had a malpractice procedure done back in Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
She had to, she got a call saying I was, you know, her baby was sick. So she immediately didn't think, you know, she just wanted to be with her baby, took off to save me.
There's a process you can go through to sort of get permission to leave and come back, but of course that would take a long time and you were sick, right?
Yeah. Then. She said that she knew that the process would take long, so she didn't know if I was going to make it. She just followed her first instinct as a mother.
Where was she working?
At the time, she was, I think she was working in Klausner Furniture.
Furniture store. Yeah.
Yes.
A furniture factory, right?
Yes.
So she's doing that, and she has since worked, but she's been working full-time somewhere that whole period she was here, am I right?
Yes.
So she has to, and she's sending money home because you're there. Who else is at home? Who's back in Guatemala?
My grandparents.
So she's sending money home to support you. You get sick, she has to leave. When she comes back, are you with her then? Do you come back?
No.
But what does she do then when she returns to the U.S.?
She continues working to continue providing for us. And she carried on with her life normally.
And meanwhile, again, her status as an asylum seeker is still pending. She's checking back with immigration authorities every so often. In fact, I think every year she's
every
going
year.
Back saying, hey, how's it going? You know, and
yeah.
So they knew she was here. It's pending appeal or it's pending a decision. In the meanwhile, she has permission to work. She is working.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually she gets a decision. There's a decision by immigration authorities and they deny her asylum request,
yeah,
right?
They did. So whenever she tried to re-enter the country, she basically bought what she thought was something to come in legally and got caught with it. And basically that's what kept her from legal status.
Right. But meanwhile, she is checking to try to get legal status,
yeah,
and going back.
Yeah.
And she talked with our producer, your mother did, and she speaks only Spanish. We, sadly, in this country, we only speak English. But we're going to play her what she told us about her, the frustration that she feels over her inability to fix her status. She thinks it's unfair that authorities don't give her a chance to fix her immigration status. And here she is.
Siempre he hecho lo mejor. Yo he contribuido al país, trabajando, haciendo cosas bien. Entonces, yo no siento justo que no me den la oportunidad de arreglar mi estatus migratorio.
So that's Juana Luz Tobar Ortega, a grandmother and a mother who has taken sanctuary from deportation at St. Barnabas Episcopal Church in Greensboro. We're speaking with Juana's eldest daughter, Leslie Molina. So when did so talk about this latest issue, because eventually immigration officials did deny her status. And what did she do then?
She has a lawyer. She has tried several times. There wasn't another option for her at that point. They had told her that she had to leave the country. She decided to stay with her family because everything she has done is in this country. She just stayed here. I mean, even knowing that, you know, that it was probably not right, but the main goal for her was to be with her kids.
Right. And at some point, immigration officials could deport her. They had already made their judgment. So what about the decision to seek asylum? Tell us about that decision. How was that made?
I was very little at that point, but...
To seek asylum in the church, to seek sanctuary. Asylum, but a sanctuary, yes.
Uh-huh. We had tried everything. We have put numerous of petitions for her to stay, removal stay, as I guess is what the application is called. And every time they immigration, they deny it. We really had no other option than for her to seek sanctuary, although it's not what really we wanted. We want her to be with her family. We want her to be at home. We want her to be, you know, do the normal things she has done for the past 24 years. But we were left with no other option. We tried, and we put different, like, I think it was like either 4 or 5 stay removals, and none of them were accepted.
You petitioned Senator Tom Tillis's office, right?
Yeah, we also petitioned his office to, you know, basically help us out.
What was the response from Tillis?
We really haven't gotten a response.
So you seek asylum, but this is not done normally. It's not commonly done. How did you know about this situation, and what did you think it was going to involve? How did you find out that this was indeed an option?
I contacted American Friends Service Committee because we didn't know what to do. We didn't know. Our main goal was for us to stay together. And I called and I spoke to Andrew.
Let's meet Andrew right now, and also Randall Keeney, who is they're both with us today. I'm speaking with Leslie Molina, the eldest daughter of Juana Luz Tobar Ortega, a woman taken sanctuary from deportation at a Greensboro church. And I'm joined now by Reverend Randall Keeney. He's the vicar of St. Barnabas Episcopal Church in Greensboro, where Juana is staying. Randall, welcome. Good to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Also with us is Andrew Willis Garces. He's the organizing coordinator for the Carolina branch of the American Friends Service Committee, a Quaker organization fighting against Juana's deportation. So let me ask you about this. When did you become involved, Andrew?
So we met her family at one of the Know Your Rights trainings that we've been doing in the last couple months. And so we'd met them, and then her mom... on her annual check-in with ICE every year, she's been going down to the Charlotte ICE office, and they've been saying, okay, well, your deportation is still deferred. And this year they said, you know, you're lucky because we could arrest you right now, even though you're a grandmother. And instead we're going to be nice and we're going to fit you with this tracking monitor, and you must leave the country within a month. And so they reached out to us because they weren't sure what their next steps could be.
Reverend Keeney, how did you come to the decision to make your church a sanctuary, to make it a sanctuary church for Juana?
Well, this is a process that we've worked through for well over a year. There was another case of a young man, father and husband, who was facing deportation. The circumstances didn't work out there, but my vestry, which is our board, and I and our congregation talked about it then, and continued conversation until we were contacted by the American Friends Service Committee. And they told us they had a desperate situation and asked if we would still consider it.
And so what did you do then? What accommodations have you made?
Well, I talked to my vestry and congregation, and it was unanimous that we should do this. Since then, we've been trying to get the church buildings and spaces available for Juana and make it a hospitable place for her to be.
Leslie, let me ask you what it's like to visit your mother. Tell us about her situation. Describe her living conditions now and what it's like, because I know you visit every day. What's it like?
Well, the church and the congregation have done a great job. We thank them very much for, you know, letting her be in there. But they've accommodated everything well. It's hard to visit her every day and then walk away knowing that she can't come out, knowing that she can't leave with me and go to my house and do the normal things we do.
What's the visit like for her? Can you tell how difficult it is for her to be there or what it's like for her when you leave?
Well, we get there, she's happy to see us. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I mean, she's staying in there 24 hours a day.
Which means she's not working. She's been working the whole time.
She has had to leave her job.
Yeah.
She's staying positive. She's mm-hmm. a very strong woman. And she's trying not to break. Mm-hmm. And I can see that. But at the end, you know, when it's time to go, I can see her eyes and I can see that she's sad that we're leaving and that she can't go home.
Let me ask you, Andrew Willis Garces, what is the legal status or the legal place in our jurisprudence system for a sanctuary?
Sure. Well, and I should say I'm not an attorney, but from what I understand, so the main thing is that ICE right now at this point has an internal policy where they don't apprehend people who are in churches, hospitals, schools, or at political demonstrations. Otherwise, attorneys have different interpretations, but mostly say that churches at least are on relatively solid legal footing in terms of the risk that they're taking. Otherwise, it's kind of up to ICE's discretion at any point. You know, ICE right now, as we speak, ICE in North Carolina are entering people's houses every day, are serving arrest warrants to break families apart. And so it's really up to their discretion whether Juana, other members of her family are targeted by ICE and their families are broken apart.
Reverend Keenan, you talked about the fact that you had among your inner circle at the church unanimous approval of this. How about the larger congregation and the larger community? Have you received much pushback?
No, we haven't. The congregation is pretty unanimous in the support of this also. We've gotten, you know, an email here or there and a telephone call here or there, but the overwhelming response has been positive and very supportive. People are sending letters and cards and money to support Juana and the sanctuary work for her.
Should churches be doing this? Should more churches be doing this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's, I believe, one of our primary calls as faith communities is to welcome those that are targeted or under threat and do the very best we can to protect them.
Leslie, is there an end point? Have you put a time, a date on this when it would end, or are you in this indefinitely?
I wish that we knew, but at this point we don't know how long this is going to go on for. We certainly hope it's not a long time. Of course, the sooner the better, but as of right now, we just don't know.
Andrew, is there a kind of an end game? Is there a way in which this case, now having gotten a little bit of attention and the fact that Juana is now protected, at least for the moment, allows you other legal avenues or other ways in which you can get this case adjudicated differently?
Her attorneys are looking into other options, but I think right now what we're seeing more than anything, because there are thousands of families in the same place as this family and hundreds in the state alone who are having the same kind of experience where they're going into a check-in, they get this terrible shock, and they call people like me and other nonprofits, figure out what their options are. And right now, another undocumented woman we work with has said ICE feels like kind of like an occupied army in the sense that they don't answer to anyone locally or statewide. And I think that we have people whose job it is to protect our families, like to protect community safety. And at this point, those are people with direct oversight of ICE, people like Senator Tom Tillis, who, is a member of the Judiciary Committee. And I think we've seen people like that, people like the senator, really express support for and actually do a lot to protect immigrant communities and other communities under threat. And so we're really hoping that they will do more. They will do their jobs and stand between ICE, and be able to get stays for people like Juana's family. We've seen that happen in other sanctuary cases. Like, there was a woman in Denver a month ago who basically that's what happened. And so I think that's what we're looking for, is we need more political leadership, people to stand between these families and ICE.
We reached out to Senator Tillis's office with regard to the story, did not get a response. What about churches? Are you seeing more churches, or is there more activity on your part to enlist churches in this cause?
For sure. I'd say every week, we get another church, at least one, reach out to say, we're interested in exploring being able to offer sanctuary. I think the national sanctuary organizations have said that at least 900 churches have signed up just since the election to potentially offer sanctuary. So there's clearly more and more interest, for sure, in being able to step up in this moment and to do more than just say no, but rather, let's put our resources on the line.
Leslie, what is your message to those public officials who could do something about that? If you could talk to them directly, what would you say?
I would say have some compassion for our family. Our family belongs to be together. Our family. I'm sorry. It's hard. Our family belongs to be together, and I would ask them to use their power and to try to help us.
I want to thank you all for being on the program. Leslie Molina is the eldest daughter of Juana Luz Tobar Ortega. She is the woman who has taken refuge in a Greensboro church. That church is directed by Reverend Randall Keeney. He's the vicar of St. Barnabas Episcopal Church in Greensboro, where Juana is staying. Andrew Willis Garces is the organizing coordinator for the Carolina branch of the American Friends Service Committee. It's a Quaker organization fighting against Juana's deportation. Thank all of you for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Just ahead, a North Carolina teacher is the focus of a documentary that explores the impact of media stereotypes in her profession. That's coming up in a moment. Please stay with us.